Well, we pray that the Lord would work one more time in the meeting tonight, feed our souls. I feel like the Lord's been talking to me about a little burden. Maybe we'll start in Daniel, the 9th chapter, and the first verse. I want to think a little bit this evening about the presence of the Lord. It says here, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly, and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. And, you know, it gives a little here about Daniel's prayer. We see here where it had been, Daniel said in the second verse, that he had understood by books the number of the years that Jeremiah had prophesied. Jeremiah had prophesied that they would be there 70 years. And he told them, just go on down there. Go on down to Babylon and build houses there and dwell there. And at the end of 70 years, the Lord will bring you back. And so Daniel was on the other end of this now. And, you know, I see Daniel here seeking for something from the Lord. Daniel knew what the word of the Lord said. He knew what Jeremiah had prophesied, but here they were down there, and here they were in this foreign land, and they needed help. So Daniel began to seek the Lord, and it says that in verse 3 he said, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth. You know, sackcloth is just cloth that sacks was made out of. That's what it was, kind of just a rough cloth, brown cloth. And ashes, that was a real sign of humility. And so we find here Daniel needed something from the Lord. And so he began to set himself to find that. He began to humble himself. He began to pray. He began to fast. Lord, we need some things. And he began to confess. Daniel knew that they were there because of the sins of the nation. And so he began to, he said, we have sinned and committed iniquity and have done wickedly, have rebelled. But we find here, if you look on down, in verse 7 it says, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, they have trespassed against thee. You know, Daniel knew what he was dealing with, but he needed something from the Lord. And tonight I want to just talk about the presence of the Lord and the dealings of the Lord in our life. You know, sometimes we can know the whole situation. Daniel knew what the Lord said. 70 years is going to pass. He knew he was at that point. He knew these things. But it was time for the Lord. He needed something from God. And so I want to encourage us tonight, as we go from here, folks, sometimes we know what the Lord says. We know the things of God. We've heard the word of the Lord. But we need something more than that. We need a personal visit from the Lord sometimes. All of us do. And even if we're saved and sanctified, I will tell you sometimes we need something special from God. And so I want to think about that a little bit tonight, about those special visits that the Lord gives us and what it does for us. Now we find Daniel here when he knew that he had a need here that he didn't know what to do, but he knew where to get it. And so he humbled himself. He began to pray. He dressed himself in sackcloth. And he got as low as he knew how to get and began to call upon God, fasting and prayer. We look on down to verse 17 and maybe through 24. And Daniel was still praying, and he says, "Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name." And whilst I was praying and speaking, whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, "O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision." Do you know that the Lord sent Gabriel, the angel, I believe, that stands before the presence of God? And we find him here talking to Daniel. He met Daniel. Daniel was in a special place. He needed something more than just the knowledge that in 70 years, he needed something from the Lord. Folks, we need something from God sometimes. Sometimes we need more than just knowing what we know and the blessings of the everyday. Now, Daniel was a man of prayer. Even when it was at the risk of his life, it says that he opened his window and prayed before God three times a day. And so we find Daniel living a life that was close to the Lord. But Daniel needed something more than that. He needed some direction from the Lord. And you know, he began to call upon God. Have you ever had an experience where the Lord paid you a really special visit? Something that in your mind, it never goes away. You remember it forever. The Lord visited me there. We find there was some folks back there, and I want to read about a few of them, but Jacob was in a place one time, wasn't he? And you know, the Lord came and he visited Jacob in that place. Jacob never forgot it. We have it recorded today. You know, he visited Abraham. The Lord visited Noah. He visited different ones through the centuries of time that humbled themselves before him and called upon his name. I just want to encourage us tonight that, folks, we want the Lord. Sometimes we just need something from God. We just need more than the everyday. Lord, I need your blessing of your word today. I need you to strengthen my life today. We need more than that sometimes, don't we? And so it goes on to say in the 24th verse, listen to what Gabriel said to him. He began to visit with him, and he said a lot more than Daniel was asking for, didn't he? He says here, first he informed me in verse 22 and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. That's what Daniel needed right there. He needed something from the Lord. At the beginning, and he said, I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Do you know that the scriptures tell us as dear children? The Lord wants us to be as dear children, doesn't he? I believe that we can be to the Lord as much as we want to be. I believe we can get real close to the Lord and become really dear children in his. I think he loves all of us the same. But you know, some of our children just kind of snuggle up to us, don't they? They just kind of, it's special, isn't it? I think it's that way with the Lord. And the Lord told Daniel, he said here, that you're greatly beloved. I love that verse. I enjoy that. Every time I read that, I love that verse. Because I feel that way too. I think we can all feel that way. And then he starts telling him something. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. And we know that the scriptures denote a day for a year many times. And that's the scale that it's given. And so we find here that Gabriel began to tell him exactly when the Messiah was going to come to the year. Began to tell him exactly when things were going to begin to happen. Daniel didn't ask for all that. He was just wanting to know about this other. And so it goes on to say, and to 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. To finish the transgression that began when Adam and Eve started, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, there's going to be something really special happen. And the Lord began to reveal to Daniel some really special things in his life. To bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. And who was that? That was the Lord, wasn't it? You know, the Lord paid Daniel a special visit and began to reveal things to him. You know, the Lord is a revealer of secrets, isn't he? And he wants to give to us revelations of himself. Far more sometimes. I believe this. Far more than the everyday what he gives us. And so, you know, I've found the Lord does this. I believe that. Daniel humbled himself really low. Daniel began to call upon God. Daniel called upon God for quite a while. And the Lord heard him. I want to think this evening about the presence of the Lord and about those times when God comes upon people's lives and begins to reveal himself to people. Do you remember Samuel? You remember Samuel began to hear the voice of the Lord? How old do we have to be anyway before God begins to talk to us? What's the age? Can somebody tell me? How old was Samuel? He was a boy, wasn't he? And God began to talk to Samuel. You know what? There was a secret to Samuel's life, though. And I want to notice that there's some secrets to these kind of things. In 1 Samuel 1 and 26... This, you remember, Elkanah and Hannah couldn't have children. And Hannah wanted a child. And she came up to the temple. And she was so distressed that she just couldn't. She was so down that Eli thought she was drunk. And he reproved her for being drunk. She said, no, I'm not. And she told him. And you know, I don't remember what all she said. But he told her, the Lord give you that. And you know, the Lord came upon Hannah and she had a child, didn't she? And you know, she promised to the Lord, I'll give this child to you. And a few years later, she came back and she made good on her promise, didn't she? And we see here in 26 of the first chapter, and she said, Oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. You know what? Samuel was given to the Lord. Now, you know, our parents can't give us to the Lord in the same way today as she did. But you know what, young folks? I want to tell you something. The Lord began to speak to Samuel. He was the Lord's. He became the Lord's, and Samuel was a part of it. He was okay with that. He gave himself to the Lord. He didn't rebel on that. And he was the Lord's. She lent him to the Lord. And so we find here, I want to read a few other places on down in the second chapter, the 17th verse. It says, "Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod." Do you know that you don't have to be old to minister to the Lord? You know what, children? God can work in your life too. Do you know that you can come to the Lord and begin to minister to Him and give yourself to Him? And take your hands off of your life. See, Samuel's hands was off of his life. He was lent to the Lord for the rest of his life. He was the Lord's. He was to work in the temple. And Samuel took that mantle upon him and began to be the Lord's. All the Lord's. And here was Eli, a prophet of the Lord. But for some reason the Lord wasn't speaking. There was something wrong. Why was God not speaking anymore? And we find here in 3 and 1, I'm going to try not to be too lengthy with all of these readings, but we find that, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli." Here it says it again. "And the word of the Lord was precious in those days." There was no open vision. What that means is the word of the Lord was rare. You know what we've heard here all week long? We've heard the word of the Lord as revealed through His ministers and through people in the audience that the Lord has given His word to. We've heard them come up and speak, and we saw the Lord move and work. You know what? That's the word of the Lord. It was revealed to people. But here in the days of Eli, Eli wasn't obeying the Lord. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. And if you look at history a little bit, it had been, I believe, over 100 years, if I'm right, since they had had hardly any recorded words from the Lord. Now, I'm sure there was prophets through there. I don't know what. But the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Here was Eli, very old man, and probably had been there all his life. And yet the Lord wasn't pleased to give His word. But here was this little boy, and he was ministering unto the Lord, and he was giving himself to the Lord. You know, tonight, I want to challenge you all. Folks, the word of the Lord, the touch of the Lord, the visit of the angel, the visit of His presence, the visit of His enlightening visit to you and me is so very precious. And it is so very enlightening. You know, the Israelites needed something. They needed some direction, and they needed a visit from the Lord. But here was a little boy that stood in the gap. Here was a little boy that was lent to the Lord. I want to challenge you, lend yourself to the Lord the rest of your life. Lord, I really want You to have my life. I want You to work in my life. I want You to take me and use my life the best You can the rest of my days. And you know, when we do that, we begin to seek the Lord. He begins to be real in ways we never knew He would be or could be. There was a lot of little boys in the land in Samuel's day. They never heard the voice of the Lord, but Samuel did. Now listen to what began to happen. "And it came to pass," verse 2, "at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here am I.' And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst called me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. You can see what kind of young man this was. He was urgent to the call. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. You know, I want to challenge us tonight. If the word of the Lord has not really been revealed to you yet, let's just humble ourselves, lend ourselves to the Lord, and begin to seek Him with all of our hearts. Because He really wants to reveal His word in our lives in ways that we never knew before. The Lord really wants to do that. Therefore, Eli, let's see, and the third time it happened. And then verse 9, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down. Eli knew what was going on by then, didn't he? You go lie down, Samuel. If he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. And there Samuel began his work for the Lord. There he began to tell. The next morning, Samuel wanted to know, what did the Lord say? You know, for many, many years, here was a faithful servant of the Lord. And we find Samuel all through his life hearing the word of the Lord. Do you remember when Saul came down and he was looking for his lost donkeys? And he was trying to find them, and the Lord spoke in Samuel's ear the day before, and he said, there's a man going to come down here, and he's going to be the next king. I'm just paraphrasing. He's going to be the next king. And you know, when Samuel saw him, the Lord spoke to him and said, this is the man that I was telling you about. Do you know how valuable... Do you know how valuable that was to Israel? For someone to be hearing the word of the Lord, that was valuable. I want to tell you something, folks. This isn't just for Samuel. We live in a day where the Lord said, I'll be your God and you'll be my people. You know, He wants to visit us today. You know how valuable it is for mom and dad to hear from the Lord? You know how valuable it is for us to hear from the Lord? Folks, we're all people. We're just people. If we don't hear from the Lord, we're in trouble, aren't we? But if we do, light shines before us. And so we humble ourselves and we seek His face, as Daniel did. Daniel knew there was a place. There was a place he knew he could find the Lord. He had lived his life for the Lord and knew Him. All through his life, he had sought God. He had been in the lion's den. He knew about those times and those places. And he knew there was a God and He was real. And he knew when he needed something, he could get a hold of Him. Do you know we know that too, don't we? Let's not live below our privileges, folks. God wants to be our God. And He wants us to be His people. And he wants us to feel... He wants us to know His presence. He does. He wants us to know His presence. And so we find these little stories. I was thinking about Elijah. I know we're so familiar with that. I'm going to read just a little bit here in 1 Kings 19. But you know, Elijah fled from Jezebel. Now, why did Elijah flee from Jezebel? When God had just put famine on the country for 3 years, whatever, at His word. He knew that. God had just come down in fire from heaven and licked up and burned up the sacrifices that had no water on them. It had water on them, a lot of water. But it had no fire. It had no wood to burn it up. And the Lord sent fire from heaven, didn't he? I don't believe he stacked wood there, did he? I don't think so. But we find that Elijah had experienced all of that, and yet the circumstances of life put him in a place where it totally unsettled him. You know, he needed to hear from the Lord, didn't he? He really needed to hear from the Lord. I'm not sure he really did exactly what God would have wanted him to do, but he took off running with everything he had. He ran for 40 days and 40 nights. And he landed up in a cave, didn't he? And the Lord visited him there, though, because Elijah was a man that sought after God. And I'm sure all along the way he was praying. He had been serving the Lord faithfully all this time. But you know, Elijah needed to hear from the Lord. And so we find here that that the Lord spoke to Elijah in the cave there. And he told him, he said, "You go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by," 19:11. "And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire," what came after the fire? "A still small voice." This was the God of heaven. He came in a still small voice to Elijah, didn't he? And he began to talk to Elijah. That's what Elijah needed, wasn't it? He needed a visit from the Lord. He needed to hear. He needed some direction for his life. "Lord, what do I do now? What do I do? Where do I go? What do I do? They're after me to kill me, and they've killed about everybody else." And he told the Lord, "It was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out." Well, let's see. "And stood in the entering in of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, 'What doest thou here, Elijah?' And he said, 'I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away.'" Was that true? That's the way he saw it, but it wasn't true. "And the Lord said unto him, 'Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus.' And he told him to go anoint Hazael king over Syria. And he said, 'I want you to go anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And Elisha, I want you to anoint him to be prophet in your place.'" And you know, the Lord never really answered him, but he gave him what he needed, and that was clear direction. You know, tonight, I just want to encourage you, saints, young men, young ladies, children, we need something from God sometimes. And there is a God, the God of Daniel, the God of Elijah, the God of Moses, that wants to visit us and give us really clear direction in our life. And he will. Elijah needed the presence of the Lord. That's what he really needed. He was just afraid. Everything was unsettled. He didn't know what. He needed something, didn't he? You know, the Lord cares about you and I. And he wants to give us what we need. And he will. But it comes to those that minister to the Lord, that are lent to the Lord, that give themselves to him and humble their hearts before him. And you know, when we begin to do that, the Lord just has a way of clearing things up for us, doesn't he? He clears up the air. He clears up our mind. He gives us clear direction. And he told Elijah here, he didn't get in a big discussion with Elijah about everything that had went on. He just said, "I want you to go over here and do this. And I want you to go over there and do that. I want you to go over here and do this." And That settled it. He did tell Elijah that, I've got 7,000 left in Israel, by the way. You're not alone. You're not the only one left. And so, the Lord help us tonight. You know, I think about Jonah. You know, the Lord revealed himself to Jonah. Jonah was a prophet of the Lord. I've never totally figured this story out because he seems to me like a pretty unfaithful one. But he ran from the presence of the Lord, didn't he? And in Jonah, if you look at that one, it says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He did a really bad move, didn't he? He went and got in a ship, never thinking that God owned the waters too. You know, the Lord still loved Jonah. The Lord still was after him. It makes me think of the psalm. And I want to read this. Folks, the Lord, he comes after us, doesn't he? He knows. He saw Elijah running. And you know what? He didn't say, let him go. When he comes back, I'll talk to him. You know, Jonah made a real serious, foolish thing here, mistake, didn't he? He ran from the presence of the Lord. But you know, the Lord loves people, doesn't he? And so he began to go down to Tarshish. And of course, we know the rest of that story. He landed up in a fish's belly, and he ended up going. The Lord got a hold of him, didn't he? Whither shall I flee from thy spirit? The psalmist said in 139:7. Whither shall I flee? Go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right, right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and not in thy book all my members were written. And it goes on, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. You know, this evening, folks, as we go from here, we don't have to go from the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord has been here through the week, hasn't it? It's been revealed to us many times. It is not rare among us, for which I am eternally grateful. It is not rare for us to hear something that God gave. That is very precious, isn't it? That is very beautiful that the Lord does that. But when we go from here, I want to encourage us that we get with the Lord and let Him speak to us and find Him. I began to find out about this life when I was about 18 years old. And I wanted it so bad that I humbled myself. I began to fast and pray and seek the Lord. And nobody was, it was not a hard thing. I wanted it so bad. I heard about it. I saw people with a burden of the Lord upon them, something I never knew before that time. I saw people that really cared about other people. I saw people that the Lord had moved upon their life and they gave their whole life to God. I want to tell you something. Oh, young folks, open your arms to the Lord and invite Him into your life. Open your arms to the Lord and give Him your life. Lend yourself to Him for all the rest of your life. And let Him have His way. And so what if He calls you to whatever? I'm pretty sure it'll be better than what you want. You'll have otherwise. You know, I know there's a few other places here we could read a lot more, and I'm going to try not to read too much here. But in Luke, the 24th chapter, you know, there were a couple of fellas walking along, and the Lord had been, crucified, and all their hopes had been dashed, and they were confused, and they didn't know what to think. They just didn't know what to think. I want to tell you something. No matter where we go, the Spirit of the Lord is there, as long as we're God's people. Where am I going to go from the Spirit of the Lord? If I ascend into heaven, He's there. If I make my bed in hell, it says He's there. I believe He's talking about the grave there. But we find if I go to the uttermost parts of the sea, wherever I am, whatever situation you find yourself in, I want to tell you something. God has not departed just because you're in a strange situation or a strange place. That is the place to begin to seek the Lord right where we are. Lord, I need your help. I need your direction. Here these people were walking along. You remember those two fellas walking along on the road to Emmaus? And here they were walking, and as they were walking, they were sad. And somebody comes along. This is 24 and 15. Somebody comes along and says, "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, and they were walking along, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you walk, that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" You know, the Lord, He sees where we're at. He knows when we're sad. He knew these folks, they just needed a little visit, didn't they? And the Lord drew near to them. These were some of God's children, I'm sure of that. And so we find then on down in 25, "Then He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory?" They didn't realize what God was telling them, but their heart was burning in them. And He began to expound to them and tell them all the scriptures from Moses through the prophets and all that concerning Christ and what was going to happen. And I'm sure He explained to them about the crucifixion and what was going to happen and opened their understanding. And then they walked along and they came to the place they needed to stay, and they tried to get Him to stay with them. No, well, please do. And He stayed with them yet a little longer, didn't He? And then they began to eat bread. They got ready to eat bread, and He broke the bread and gave thanks, and their eyes were opened. And they realized, this is a visit from the Lord Himself. And you know what? He vanished. But He left them with what they needed. He left them with a visit that they needed in their life. Oh, let me tell you something today. I know that what we need in our lives, folks, we just need a little visit from the Lord. We just need Him, and everything comes into focus. He explains things to us. He lets us know what we need to know. That's all we need, is a little visit from the Lord. You remember Moses, over in Acts, it gives a little abbreviated version of Moses' experience, Acts 7. And we find, it says, "Then fled Moses at this saying and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons." He knew that God wanted him to deliver the children of Israel. So he just gets out there and kills one of the enemy. Gets himself in big trouble. And he runs for 40 years. He's down tending, what was it? He was in the wilderness tending animals, sheep, what was it, goats or something, sheep maybe. And here he was down there for 40 years. But you know what? The Lord didn't forget about him, did he? Moses was a man of God. The Lord visited Moses. He was walking along in the desert one day, and he looks, and behold, here is a bush burning, and it doesn't burn up. Do you know the Lord visited Moses right there? And he gave Moses clear direction. He gave him what he needed to go back and do the job that God wanted him to do. And so this evening, I want to challenge us this evening. Let the Lord speak in our lives, and let him be there. Live close to him. Be his young man. Be his young woman. Be his old man. Be his old woman. Be what God wants you to be. And draw up close to him. And I want to tell you something. Along the way, he'll visit you in ways that you'll never forget, and give you what you need in your life. You know, the Lord visited Moses a lot of times after that. Just like with Samuel. We have a whole lifelong history of Samuel after he was his child, and how God visited him at different places in his life, and how he answered prayers for him. And one time the enemy was coming along, and wasn't it Samuel that prayed? And God began to thunder until the enemy was, it just scared them to death. He thundered with a great thunder, didn't he? And there may have been some other things going on at that time. But we find that God works like that. Do you remember then when the children of Israel, and here was Moses out there trying to lead these people along, and here they were rebelling against, you know, we don't want to go into the land of Canaan, or different times. You remember when Korah and them came up against Moses? And you know what? The presence of the Lord showed himself, did he not? He was there. And he was there all the time. The glory of the Lord, it says, appeared in the tabernacle. Now that was when they decided they weren't going to go into the land of Canaan. And the glory of the Lord appeared there and spoke, didn't he? And so tonight, I remember another place or two. I remember Abimelech and Isaac. Do you remember that little story? How that Abraham had dug wells, and they got stopped up. And so here Isaac was in the land where Abimelech, this other strong man, was king, whatever he was. And we find him in Genesis 26 and 16. Abimelech said unto Isaac, "Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water is ours." And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well, and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna, and he removed from thence, and digged another well. Isaac was in kind of a close place here, wasn't he? What was he going to do? You know what? He did the right thing, didn't he? He just moved on instead of making war there, instead of having war with them. And he digged another. And the third time, they didn't strive for it. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, "For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, "I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and will multiply, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." And he built an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Do you know, sometimes all we really need is just for the Lord to help us out, isn't it? Lord, what do we do here? You know what? The Lord needs to help us. And I want to encourage all of us in our lives. We have many places and many things in our lives. Let's call upon the name of the Lord and take His way. And you know, these people came back to Him later, and they became very good friends. And they made commitments to each other, and they swore to one another, it says. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzzah, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there now be an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee. Thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. They rose up betimes in the morning and swore one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. Do you know, there's a place there that the Lord wants to visit us, doesn't he? And so we see how the presence of the Lord does that. Daniel was a man that needed that, and Samuel was a man that needed that. The children of Israel needed it. Elijah needed it. All these ones, we need it too.
Yes, amen.
And I want to encourage us, just be the Lord's and seek the Lord. And I believe we will find Him to be more real than we ever knew Him to be. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever known the presence of the Lord drawing near to you? Have you ever experienced that the Lord is drawing near here? I hope you have, or you do if you have not. Let's seek the Lord and humble ourselves and just give ourselves completely to Him. And I want to tell you something. The Lord will draw near in our life from time to time. We will find Him. He gives us His word many days, does He not? He gives you blessings in your worship and all those things. But folks, there's times, I remember some very special times. I remember a time right over here when we were praying with a young man, me and him was praying. And I want to tell you, the presence of the Lord drew near. I knew the Lord did something for that young man that night. His mother told me later, he went to that meeting a boy and came back a man. The Lord visited him. You know, the Lord wants to visit you and me too. There's a number of times. As I told you, when I began to seek the Lord and I was 18 years old, and I wanted God. I heard about it. I saw it. I knew it. I wanted it so bad. And I want to tell you something. The presence of the Lord visited me. I needed it. I wasn't coming to church here at that time, but I was coming around. And I began to pick up things and see lives and be challenged. But I will tell you, the Lord visited me one day. I've never had a more real visit in my life. I believe that's where the Spirit of God came into my heart and changed me from that day on. That's been many years ago. But I will tell you, for 3 days, I felt like heaven had entered my soul, or I was almost to step into heaven. I don't boast in that. I only say God wants to visit all of us. He has a lot more for us than we realize He does sometimes. Amen. Pray for me.